It's 9 a.m. and there's a beautiful and bright and fair Monday morning, the 28th day of September 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, the Parliament is in session. Today we raise a combination of interrelated issues. The proposed NLC and TUC strike, which was to commence today across the nation, and which was triggered by the recent double hike of pump price and electricity tariff. From reliable quarters, the strike has been suspended. This morning, we further interrogate the intended strike, its suspension, and the implications. Welcome to the Parliament. I am Uche Gabriel, but I'm not alone.
Good morning. My name is Adobe Lozwe. You're welcome.
All right. Joining us this morning is a research fellow, a civil society figure, and a public affairs analyst, Dr. Chigozie Anaroda. Good morning.
Good morning, Yusi. Good morning, Ada. Good morning, Nigerian listeners.
Okay. And we will also hook up. He's online. He's already on the line. We'll hook up with the NLC chairman for Ebonyi State, Comrade Ike Chukwuemefo, and, of course, to state to get us a clearer view of why the suspension. Comrade Ike Chukwuemefo, good morning.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's get straight into the business. Why the suspension? When we were almost about to see people marching on the streets.
Well, my dear, it is what I would call a Nigerian factor. Nigerian factor in the sense that when issues come up, the so-called government don't like addressing those issues as early as possible. They will always wait for the dying minute, trying to test the faith of Nigerians, especially the workers, before they try to weld into issues or a way of solving issues. What I'm saying this is that we have given federal government ultimatum for over 2 weeks, and they didn't respond until just a day or 2 days to the day we are supposed to go on strike and do protests. They went to court to get injunction, which we didn't mind. They now started calling us for a meeting, which they refused to do all this while. We talked the first day, talked the second day. We told them we must go on unless they are ready to reduce the fuel price and the electricity tariff. Then when they discovered we are much serious, they called us last night. About 7 p.m. in the evening, they called for a meeting that lasted to about 2:50-something p.m. in the midnight this morning. So in that meeting, to cut it short, we had an MOU signed by government and labor leaders. In the MOU, they agreed that they should be given 2 weeks to work with labor to now see reasons of what labor is presenting. According to them, they said the data that they have is different from the information labor is giving concerning the electricity tariff. So they pleaded to be given 2 weeks to go back and now work on what they have done. And directed that the issue of electricity tariff should not be implemented. The increase should not be made until they finish these 2 weeks and come up to a position at level, which is what they should have done all this while. So the parties agreed to set up a technical committee of ministries, departments, agency, NLC, TUC, for 2 weeks, starting from today, being 28, to examine the justification for the new policy. Are you with me?
Yeah, we're listening to you.
Because, like I said, because of the conflicting information they are having, which is different from what the NERC, that is the National Electricity Regulatory Commission, what they were giving them is different from what we presented. So they are now asking them to go and sit down and look at it and come up with a position. We also added some other issues like the metering, among other things. That is what we're able to do in respect to electricity tariffs. Then the issue of the fuel increase. Well, I must tell you the truth. The position, the agreement reads, is that, one, they said it will be difficult for them, from my own personal understanding, for them to reduce the fuel price. Rather, they will want a palliative to cushion the effect of the fuel increase on the vulnerable, the workers, and the Nigerians, of course. And one of the ways they say they are going to bring the palliative is bringing a specific amount to be availed by federal government in 2 weeks from the Economic Sustainable Program Intervention Fund to be accessed by Nigerians. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now the first question I will ask is, are we talking about an electricity tariff hike that has already started being implemented? Or because it's already on. I mean, they are not proposing. The hike has occurred already. So how come they are saying NEC should look at the figures? Is it that they don't know that NEC has started?
Said NEC should revise the increase immediately and wait for 2 weeks before any other thing. The other is that the price has been revised. The electricity tariff hike has been revised.
Okay.
So,
to status quo.
But the ones people have paid, are they going to get back what they paid in excess?
When the resolutions are made, those ones that are paid within this period will be given back to them.
Okay.
And either you don't pay for subsequent ones to cover up the ones you paid or something like that. Whatever they come up with is what we're going to look at. Which, if it is not in tandem with the position of labor, of course, certainly, we are not going to take it.
All right.
So from what you're inferring, you're actually stating that this is just a suspension of the action and not a total call-off. Because there are questions and confusions from certain quarters. From the communique, they said there's a technical committee set up to look into the different conditions. Then after 2 weeks, they're going to relay back. So are there tendencies that after 2 weeks, when everything has been evaluated, are we going to see the necessary changes? And if the necessary changes are not implemented, will there be a go-on for the strike?
As far as I'm concerned, during this meeting, are you there?
Go ahead.
During the meeting last night, there is an obvious situation that the National Electricity Regulatory Commission have deceived the government and the entire society. That is what it means. And that is why they asked them, no, you go back. Go and work it out with labor based on the data or information labor is bringing. So we believe that after that 2 weeks they might have concluded, we'll go back to where we were before. Because from our own position, there's no reason for any electricity increase, tariff increase. No reason at all.
Doesn't it look like someone trying to buy time?
Well, Nigerian factor, you cannot take away anything from them. They can try that. It may be their own plan. And, to us who are with them, we know what we are passing through. The government seems to be a very difficult one. And we are trying to do things that will not affect the people we are fighting for. Because we see such a government that don't even bother about the people they govern, about what is happening to the citizenry. So the way they talk, their body language shows that they are not there for us. And they are ready for the worst. So we're trying to see how we manage this situation to make sure that it don't come to having more bad effects on the citizens and workers of this country.
Now, the people you're fighting for, that's the populace, the workers of Nigeria, see the suspension of this strike as a compromise.
Well, that is a, it's always the language. And the workers, the people will always talk that way. But you can remember and recall vividly what happened in 2016. When the first move was made to increase fuel price and the electricity tariff, we were on the streets saying that it should not be done. People took sentiments. People accused us of trying to pull down the government that just came. People said the government have come to save them and leave that we should not go on streets. People throw us clear water. People throw stones on us while we were protesting. The same people that are saying this now. Somebody like me was dehumanized by police in the street of Ebonyi State. Taken in a truck like a criminal because I was protesting for the people. Handcuffed and chained to the police station. They said we are trying to destabilize the government of Buhari. Now, so today, they're not saying we are compromising. So what should we take?
Now, there's also another insinuation that as appropriate as the NLC stand is, that NLC is not being proactive, that they should have acted long before now.
Yes. Do you know why? We couldn't act immediately because we want to know the feelings of the people so that it will not turn to what happened to us in 2016. In 2016, we acted immediately. We were misunderstood. So this time around, we want the people to come up to say, yes, we are ready. So that we don't come out for the people and the same people who came out for will mess us up. Sincerely, that is the true fact.
Well, it seems the people have lost faith in the Labour. It seems with this action, people now see the Labour and the TUC as some form of toothless bulldog. Just like Uche stated, these actions apparently seem to prove that the activities of the Labour have been compromised. Now, why do you think that going forward, peradventure after the 2 weeks ultimatum or whatever that was given by the technical committee, what do you think or how do you think the people will garner the courage to get mobilized for action, strike actions like this? And how do you think the Labour, how do you think you can restore the faith the people once had in that particular organization?
Well, the situation is this. The same people that will agree and will not agree, they should always be ready at any time we want to do anything, we should go ahead and do it. The federal government this time said, okay, we can now understand. Let us sit down and talk. If you tell them you are not talking with them, you are going against the law. The only issue here is that they refuse to talk with us all this while. We waited, we gave ultimatum, they refused. Now that they see we are going to the street, they say they are ready to talk. And by the law, if you refuse to talk with them, then it is an issue. So the issue here is that we should all know that we are facing a very difficult government. That is one thing all of us should bear in mind. It is not easy for the citizens, for the labor leaders, and for the unions. All of us have seen difficult situation with this government.
All right. Now the concern...
If we can bear it together, if by 2 weeks they didn't do whatever they are supposed to do, we should also seek the opinion of the citizens and take
it the next step. Alright, let's hope that NLC is watchful of this, because this kind of soft peddling often does two things. Number one, it could divide the protesting group, thereby weakening them. And there's a reason to believe the whole of NLC is not unanimous in the call for suspension of a strike. Now,
no, they are.
It could weaken some of them. Some of them will feel it's like a compromise. Secondly, it lowers the morale and the ginger of a people. Right? You need the people to match with you. Yeah. Now, won't NLC be weaker when their demands are not met after these 2 weeks?
Well, they won't be weaker. We can never relent. NLC can never relent. Our challenges is the people, the society. They should not also relent. And like the Igbo say that you don't get tired when you are going to your home. When you are pressing a justified demand, what actually is your right? You don't get tired. No matter the intricacies of the government, you don't have to get tired in the struggle. So we don't have to give up. And the people should also not give up. We will continue at any time, at anywhere, as long as what our demand is not being met. We must continue the struggle.
All right.
Why are you saying people shouldn't give up when at every slightest point you get to back down?
But you can see the facts by which we now suspend out. The reason for suspending the strike is very obvious. And that is the reason why they should not get fed up. Any other person can do what we did.
All right. Comrade Ikechukwu Onwafo, thank you so much for your thoughts and time.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. All right. Back in the studios, let's get to Dr. Narado. What was your first reaction when you heard that there was going to be that massive strike action?
Thank you, Yusi. Thank you, Ada. Apprehension. Apprehension. When I heard that was going to be a shutdown, because what was planned was a shutdown of the whole nation, you know, I was apprehensive. My apprehension was built around the facts that, there are valid arguments by the labor union, but also more on the fact that if the nation was shut down, who was going to be the real victim of the shutdown? Because it is hilarious. It is going to be emotional to say, oh, let's shut down the country. And we sing victory songs that we have achieved a lot by shutting down the country. But at the end of the day, when you get older, you begin to think like an older person. You begin to realize that after all the hullabaloo, after all the shutting down and we reopen the country, the ultimate victim will still be the common person. The government has no flesh and blood, as it were. The operators of the government will always have their hands on the pie, and they always have their way in getting their economy running. But the individual, the poor people of the proletariats, the people of the society, will be the real victim.
Will it be worse than what it is right now?
Yes, it will be worse. You know why? See, I have been through this. You know, as a younger person, we would shut down systems, be them university, be them states, and even the nation. At the end of the day, for instance, there was a time we shut down a university because of what we considered was obnoxious policies of university administration. At a stage, it spiraled out of control. Things were damaged, you know. Students being young students activists who felt we had won. But at the end of the day, we were made to pay damages.
Reparations.
And the reparation we paid ran into amounts that never neared what we were angling for. But at the end of the day, everybody was, we were worried. We were worried. We were tired. We had to, let's just get back to campus. And at the end of the day, our parents had to cough out the money. Those who didn't have the money had to suffer for it. And, So you could make a political point. But at the end of the day, the real economic realities come down on you. See, Nigeria is already grappling with the effects of the coronavirus. We have a fragile economy.
Yeah.
We have an economy that's actually monolithic and is suffering from the vagaries of the oil price, international oil price. And after the lockdown, you see, we are tethering. We're actually on the verge of another recession. And when you shut down the system again, the inflation that we're already feeling will skyrocket. It will worsen. Now, at the end of the day, we are talking about there are states that are yet to implement the 30,000 minimum wage, if it is actually a minimum wage. You know, when after the shutdown, we'll reopen, whatever we think we would have achieved, we will see these same people now having small amount of money that can't actually get them anything. The economic state will worsen. However, that does not mean to say that there was no valid argument in the need to go on the strike, or in the need to hold government, you know, to account on the policies of petrol pump price and the policies of electricity tariff. So yeah, you could find a valid reason. And I was apprehensive in the sense that if that happened as it was wont to happen, if that happened, the real victims will still be the common people and not the elites, eventually.
So you were happy when they called off?
I was relieved.
When they were suspended?
I was massively relieved.
And what happens after 2 weeks and nothing happens?
Now, I perfectly understand the situation you see, Andada. In as much as I was relieved, you could feel the tinge of disappointment. That's a human emotion. You know, I was coming to this studio to discuss the ongoing strike. That was the arrangement. That was, last night. I was going to come to this studio to discuss the strike, and we'll see how the strike was coming up and the pros and cons of the strike. And here we are now doing a post-mortem of the called off strike. Now, and you see Nigerian masses will be disappointed. There are groups of persons. There are groups that are disappointed that, look, this strike, to save them from the realities of the economic times, didn't happen. There are groups that are politically inclined who will be disappointed that the attempt to pull down their enemies didn't happen. There are also groups that are disappointed that, look, an opportunity to stay back at home and sleep and rest didn't happen. So the disappointment could have stemmed from a whole lot of dynamics. But I pity the labor leaders. Pity in the sense that when you mobilize the people to the highest crescendo, and suddenly what looked like capitulation happens, you are between the rock and the hard place. Because after 2 weeks, I'm sorry, if government plays the usual tricks and reneges on its responsibilities and agreements, government is known to renege on agreements. It is easy for them to pen down an agreement to avert an impending crisis, only for them to go back to the vomit and renege on the agreement. If government reneges as usual in the agreement, it will be very difficult for the labor centers to call back the people to mobilize them for another strike. But I pity them in the sense that it is not also to negotiate with a difficult arm twister like operators of government. You see, it may be quite easy for us to rest here and say we are disappointed. Oh, they have sold out. Oh, they are sellouts. Oh, they are disappointments. But you may not know that these labor leaders have been involved in hours and hours of meetings, you know, that have lasted for more than 1 week. If you follow the news, you realize that they have been from one meeting to the other, meeting with initially with the Minister of Labor, which ended in a botch. They met with whether it was online or what, with the Nigerian Governors Forum. They met with the Speaker of the House of Rep and some legislators before they finally convened the meeting with the executive last night. At the end of the day, if you are a negotiator, you be caught up in a situation where you would have to take a decision one way or the other. And you have to weigh the odds. Remember, like the labor man from Ebonyi was saying, you are dealing with the people. How resilient would the people be? And you see a situation where there were already divisions. There were already groups saying that they were not part of the strike. If you follow the trend, independent marketers, because once the petrol stations were open, people would definitely, private businessmen would definitely move around for their businesses.
Yeah.
There were some other groups.
And say it wouldn't be total shutdown.
No, it wouldn't be total shutdown. So you already saw some flinter groups saying that they were not part of the strike and they were not part of the movement. So they were also weighing the realities on the ground. If you, as a labor leader, strike, if you call out people and people don't come out to support you, you would have failed flat on the, you would have fallen flat on the ground. So, but you also watch the, you measure the emotions of the people so that you are sure that you have the support of the people.
Why doesn't strike work in Nigeria?
It's difficult. I'll tell you for a couple of reasons. Our economic power is very low. You see, I have people mentioning South Africa, Europe, and all that. If you have a buying power that can actually last you for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, you could say, oh, I will institute an industrial action. If I'm not paid salaries for the next 1 month, 2 months, I'll have a way of surviving. But if you call out mass action like this, and people have to find food, and you do know that already in a deprived state that Nigerians are, that not many Nigerians are going to survive 1 week without their usual source of survival. You know, the usual way they eked out living. If you shut down that means of eking out the living, I mean, the instinct, survival instinct, is usually a first principle of man. A man will always want to survive first before he begins to talk about other issues. Okay. So that's one of the reasons why strikes don't work. Another reason that you may not wish away is also tied to the first. The level of poverty in the country is such a way that sometimes, mark my word, sometimes, the labor leaders could also be bought up. The leaders of the strike movement could also be bought up. I know practically there are situations. There's a man I know who was a leader of NUT during the Imbanuju regime in Anambra when the schools were shut for 1 year. I mean, the amount of properties this man bought within the time he was negotiating with the government that didn't reopen school for 1 year was enormous. And he could imagine that kind of thing. He suddenly became rich because he was a labor leader and he was negotiating for, quote unquote, the good of his followers. So when such a thing happens, you see him just sell out because his price has been met. Ab initio, he had his eyes on his price. He wanted to achieve he wanted to get into the elitist class.
Okay.
You know, and he only used the labor as a tool to achieving his aim. So that's one of the other reasons why strike doesn't work. And also the overall civilization of the polity. Those who are in government will always look for a way of twisting the strikers, the labor people. They'll find a way. You see, since that time that Awolowo introduced economic strategy as a weapon of war, he has always stuck among the leaders, be they military leaders or civilian leaders now, they know that it is easier to use divide and rule. For instance, you saw Obasanjo regime. It was Obasanjo that, you know, broke down the labor center. Initially, during the time of Pascal Bafia, and eventually Oshomole, you know, even the time of Mike Imodu, it was one labor center. But when Obasanjo came back, he decided to register multiple labor centers so that he could divide the labor centers and weaken them so that their negotiation will no longer be that easy. If NLC will be speaking one voice, it will be easier to probably get TUC to say, I do not agree. And once TUC says, I do not agree, some labor unions belong to TUC, while some others belong to NLC. You know, this time around, I think probably they are learning the tricks of government, and NLC and TUC are beginning to come together to agree on one cause. Otherwise, the aim of breaking the labor center was to weaken the negotiating power of the labor unions, and that was what Obasanjo did. So the successive governments have always come up with many untwisting tactics. Some of them could be political tactics to divide and rule. Some of them could be economic tactics of trying to withdraw the source of survival. You know, part of the factor that you must consider in this particular failed strike was the fact. You see, when I saw the strike coming, I said, well, the the date for this strike was not a very strategic one. From my experience in labor unionism, today is 28th of the month. Salaries have not been paid for the month. If this strike was billed for probably first week of a month, when the salaries would have been paid, it would have been easier for people to sustain probably a strike for 1 week, 2 weeks. But look at it. He saw the songs that were already coming out. The head of service was already saying, in fact, he had issued a memo saying that anybody who did not come to work should forget it. And you knew very well that what they were going to do was that the moment this strike, if the strike started today, they were going to withhold salaries for those who joined the strike and probably use divide and rule and pay those who will break the strike. And they will use that to break labor. I'm sure that the labor leaders are aware of this. They realize that the timing, the date that they fixed for this strike was also not the best, because, I mean, for me, in the unionism, then we always targeting dates.
Timing is critical.
Yeah, timing is very critical. So that because you know that the people don't have so much economic power. The buying power of the people that are following you is very low. So you don't have the massive economy like what you usually do in ASU. You know, when ASU goes on strike, people don't understand why ASU succeeds in her strikes. ASU has a way of, you know, ameliorating the suffering of the members. As a union, as a corporate union, it provides what they call coping strategy. You could actually go to the union, take money from the union, and continue to feed while the strike will last. Even if they withdraw your salary for 1 year, the union will continue to give you something to pay the school fees for your kids, feed, up until when the strike will be over. If your salaries, you know, was paid, you will now have to refund what you took. You know, so it was difficult for, it has always been difficult for government to break. But NLC as a broader group will not have that capacity to sustain its members during their strike and mass protests. So that's one of the reasons, because, I mean, it is difficult to tell a man that's hungry, I mean, who has a food just for a day or 2 days, to sustain a strike for 3 days. National Union of Road Transport Workers, who get money in a day, their members, they get money and the money finishes in 2 days, and you are trying to make him sustain a strike for 1 week. The government knows that they have taken away your power.
Are we not forfeiting the ultimate for the immediate?
Well, you could say that. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is that, see, if the operators of government and the oppressors, they know that very well. They know that if you can't sustain a thing for 2 days, if you can't find food for 2 days, it is difficult for you to have the mental energy to actually realize what the ultimate is. And, you know, this is a country where the level of education is actually low, the country where the purchasing power is very low, the country where even a whole lot of persons are unemployed. So it's a difficult situation, a little bit complex, that it's not easy for you to say, we know the ultimate. If you know the ultimate and you are not able to actually survive in the immediate, you are bound to capitulate.
Why then do people continue with strike actions? Because strikes in the meantime, the reason for strike actions are to push further for whatever you're fighting for. And if you take a good look, the big question should be, why don't strike actions actually lead to resultant outcomes or result to effective outcomes that could actually benefit people or actually be some sort of victory for what they're fighting for?
I know you may not be very correct. It may not be absolutely correct to say that strike actions have not led to beneficial outcomes. We can analyze recent strike actions by labor groups. We can take the Nigerian Medical Association, the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors, the health workers,
Juhesu
Joint Negotiating Council, the Academic Staff Union of Nigerian Universities, the Nigerian Labor Congress, and all that. However, if you analyze these groups, you realize that without their strike action, ordinarily in labor law, strike action should be the last, you know, alternative when government or the employers, you know, or refuse to do what are considered the right things or the demand of the employees. Strike actions are supposed to be the last option. But if you look at it, without the strike actions, probably we would have headed to banana. would have headed south a long time ago. I can tell you, for instance, that without probably the strike, you know, I can say this without trying to elevate strike as the best thing to do. Without the strike of the academic staff union of universities, probably the public universities would have been as lost as the primary and secondary education in Nigeria. You see, so you will see that very many private universities are springing up, and if you audit them very well, you see that they are owned by people who have actually been in government, or people who are still in government, or people who are related to people who are in government, and they have amassed our common way to actually establish private businesses where they are collecting fees in the neighborhood of millions of in millions of naira, you know, that will run into billions at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So without a strike action, you see that probably the public universities would have been lost. Without a strike action, for instance, what the paltry 30,000 naira minimum wage that the labor centers got recently probably wouldn't have been got. And if the strike actions are actually not implemented, even the eight states, the about eight states or so that are yet to implement, will refuse to implement the 30,000 naira that is nowhere, will still refuse to implement it. So it may not be correct. And in the past, there have been attempts for government to increase the pump price of petroleum products, especially PMS, and it's been strike actions that have slowed government. Government actually wary of strike actions, because if you shut down the system, it affects the political career of the operators of government. So it may not be correct to outrightly say that the strike actions have led to no results. No, I don't agree.
However, you could
say that probably the ultimate goal may not have been achieved. The total liberation of the society. But you must also agree with me, and you know, that it is an incremental thing. If you get to one level, knowing the realities of the people you are dealing with, if you want to sustain it in such a way that if you are not able to come to a middle point at a certain time, once you lose it, they will take total advantage of you as a labor leader. So you must know when the ovation is highest, when not to go further, and come to a compromise at that material time, so that you raise your head high and say that I achieved this at this material time or not.
Now, it's hard for the people to reconcile the fact that government usually don't have money. For instance, a lot of states, over 20 states, are yet to implement the minimum wage, and yet they see politicians living in such opulence and affluence. So it's difficult to reconcile that. Is it really a case of the government not being able to afford this minimum wage, or is it simply a way of keeping the people down?
It's a way of keeping the people down, I agree with you. It's a deceit. You see, you ask yourself, can you actually decipher the overall intent of those who go into government? You see, can you put on the table those who have constituted the president of Nigeria, those who have constituted the governors of different states in Nigeria, the commissioners in different states in Nigeria, the local government chairmen in different local governments in Nigeria? Can you put them on scale and identify those who have moved into leadership because of public interest? How many are there? You know, even without having a scientific basis of saying that. But the realities and statistics on the ground will tell you that if you interview people on the road, you will see that a whole lot of persons go into leadership because of what is in there for them. They are not heading there. They spent millions of naira to get there, not because they want to work for the people, to liberate the people from shackles of poverty and, you know, underdevelopment. They're working there because of what they think they can make for themselves, their children, and the generations that are unborn. They want to buy houses in Dubai, buy houses in London, New York, and you know, every other place for the two generations of their lineage that are yet to be born. That's the foolishness of the people who go to lead us. So if you look at that, you will see that the moment he gets in there, he's no longer looking at the resources as to whether they will be enough to work for the people. They are looking at the resources as to whether the resources are enough for them to achieve their private objective, then and whatever will remain after they had taken, because they will manufacture a lot of avenues, a lot of machinations to actually take out this money that belongs to the people for their own private interests. Then they'll be looking at the little that will remain after they had taken the ones they wanted to take, that will now begin to allocate them to the people's need. That's when they begin to tell you that there are not enough monies in government. I'll give you an instance. Without actually singing his praise, Christian Ngige, the time he became the governor of Anambra State in 2003, he said something that rattled the whole Southeastern Governors Forum. He made a press statement and said that anybody who said, because he came on the heels of all the schools in Anambra being shut down for 1 year because people had not been paid salary, and on the heels of a governor who had, you know, a past governor who had said that the pensioners were dead weight. So he made a statement after a meeting of the Southeastern Governors Forum. He said there were enough money in government to pay salaries, new gratuities, and still work for the people.
Is this still saying that?
No, I'm trying to quote the statement he made. I'm not trying to refer to the Christian Gig of today. I'm referring to the Christian Gig.
Okay, we have two versions. We have two versions of Christian
Gig. I mean, people continue to change. See, Uche, one man said that sometimes I talk as a labor leader. When I become a manager, I talk as a management staff. That was what was found in our organization. You know, when we heard a man who spoke so highly about how he was going to change the society, immediately he got into a governing council. He spoke the other way. When we confronted him, he said, well, I'm not talking like a management person. So people will continue to change depending on the overall objective of the person. So I'm latching on that statement to tell you that. And not just that he made that statement. He went ahead to increase the salaries and pensions and cleared the areas of gratuities. All right. He heard people. So I'm saying actually that, see, there are monies in government. If they know that there is no money, part of the things we expected this government to do was to bring down the cost of governance. Why is a governor running a convoy of about 100 vehicles, 20 vehicles? Why? Why are you carrying around 200 policemen? Why is a president, when he's passing the whole, if a president is coming to Enugu, who will shut down? Why? Why is a minister? We are beginning to see a country where a vice chancellor, you see, we went to university where a vice chancellor will walk into a cafeteria. At the University of Nigeria, vice chancellor walked into a cafeteria, sat down to test the students' food. You wouldn't even know he walked in.
Not anymore.
Except if you knew him. But now I am in a system where I see a vice chancellor that is moving on siren and having a dispatch rider moving ahead of him and having a, you know, convoy, and his wife also going on convoy.
This is the first lady of a university.
I mean, we are now having professors of colleges of education moving on convoys, and their wives are attending first ladies meetings. This is the kind of society we run. Without alluding to any particular personality, these days you see a commissioner will now want to move on convoy where he wants to go around. A commissioner that's supposed to be going down to the people to actually ascertain the pulse of the people and implement policies. Local government chairmen are also going on convoy. So they are lavishing the public funds. We are wasting public resources. And at the end of the day, when we misplace these public resources, they also go ahead to, you know, appropriate these public resources for their own personal gain. Go and check out anybody who has been a local government chairman for 3 years. You will see that he would have bought a house outside his locality within the period that is not commensurate with his salary. So you go and see anybody who has become a councillor, he'll be angling to get his hands on the pie. He will tell you the common cliché, did I come here to look at bridges or did I come here to look at offices? We don't have public interest at heart. Government ordinarily ought to have actually cut down the cost of governance, the opulence of people in leadership. If they had done that, you see, a lot of persons would have actually seen that government was serious in actually in changing the society, and they would have understood it if you begin to increase the prices of goods and commodities. But if you don't, you are not cutting down the cost of governance, you are not reducing what the operators of politics take home and the opulence they show. I mean, they change cars as often as they want to. They are buying vehicles from even outside Nigeria, even when the economy is going down. And you are telling the common man now that you cannot afford to pay 30,000 naira as minimum wage. You are telling the common man that, look, you need to increase this tariff and you need to increase that. There are genuine reasons that could go with that. But you could lead by example.
All right. We'll go for a short break. And when we come back, the parliament will continue. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's still Auburn Parliament. The talk lines are getting open. 0809-945-945.
0809-999-945.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Ben Watanya.
Go ahead, Mr. Ben.
I'll listen to you, I guess. I think I will set a goal to the Labour movement. I could remember 2001, when we stood over certain issues. You find out Nigerians, I mean the public, the people, now turn around and betrayed some of us who were on the streets. I think they took a nice decision and then push it to the government. Next day we come, it will be full force. And then you find out that, you look, Nigeria is a complex country. A lot of indiscipline because of our economy. I could not sleep last night because I'm so tensed up. I knew that we are going to be in trouble if this strike had happened. But I'm a bit relieved, as one of your guests has said. Please, for God's sake, let's build a nation. Let's build a nation. A strong nation. Articular change and transformation is what I'm appealing to all Nigerians. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ben Otuanya. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
This is Louis, by the grace of God, an apostle and Christ ambassador in Enugu.
Welcome, Brother Louis.
Yes, I do not agree in total with one of the discussions there that if people go on strike, it is only the bouncing on the pop lands. In Igbo, they say, Mata Nwokoba, Mananaya Mubea. Whatever thing that Nigeria is causing, like now, the governance is bad. The type of school people who attended some time ago is affecting politicians not to be effective in their work. And the more they are not effective, the more Nigeria is being rated either the most corrupt people in the world or the poorest country in the world, not individual in this context, but Nigeria as a country. So it has affected Nigeria. So whatever Nigeria is doing, it is affecting the fair plans, affecting the Nigerian country as a country. So it is not only the fair plans, but they should be very careful, because it is the image of Nigeria that is being punished, so that he will not encourage the government to behave the way anyhow they want to behave, because it will still fail on them. When their president comes to United Nations and other things, they will be looking at them as inferior presidents. You see, the countries that are very superior will come out boldly, Nigerian presidents and the ministers and other things. Now, Asuku, Asuku. The more Hana Asuku, the more is affecting the country, not only the people. So they have a fiasa tonanya. That is my submission now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hello?
Thank you, Brother Louis.
Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Welcome. Go ahead.
It's indeed unfortunate. I am one of the person that said before that Labour at the end of the day will pull out. You understand? We need to. If government is taking people for a ride, there is no way you can do this kind of policy. You involve stakeholders. So many stakeholders in the field are involved. Well, Labour, you know, was not carried along before this increment was done. It's not supposed to be. You understand? We don't have. Labour supposed to, you know, carry people along. This strike supposed to hold. At least for once, let government know that they should not take populists for a ride. You understand? But as the BS has made, government should do something. Look at the thing that is baffling me in all this increment is that, like the guest has said, the government did not, the cost of governance is still high. The cost of governance, and they didn't remove the cost of every time the whole thing, the points on the masses. Look at this. Tax was increased. VAT was increased.
All right.
On the masses. Everything was increased on the masses. What is government? Which one is government bearing? Reduce the cost of governance so things will move well.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, UC. Good morning, Urban Radio. Good morning, guests in the studio.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
My name is Aga. I'm calling from Africa. This give me this opportunity to just say one or two things with respect to the Oshad labor movement. You see, a lot of us might be saying that labor has been compromised. But I want you to know that he who fights and run away will live to fight another day. The agreement that is signed has it that, yes, you have to suspend the electricity tariff for 2 weeks. 2 weeks is also enough if you go by what the analyst has just put forward there, where he's making Nigerians understand that, yes, there are tools that federal government is using against workers, which also include non-payment of salaries. So today is already 28, and salaries are not paid in so many places. So in 2 weeks' time, salary should have been paid, which is also a strategic way of saying that, yes, labor can also embark on the strike in the days to come. Let us not write labor off completely that, yes, they have failed. It is a strategic position that they have taken. And then it is good for Nigerians to also know that we are dealing with a kind of government that has so much that it does not care about the citizenry. If not, why would this government be increasing these things at this period where we are still suffering from COVID-19 lockdown? It is unfortunate. My name is Agako from Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Agako. Thank you for joining us. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Omar from Oda Road.
Go ahead, Mr. Zoma.
Yes, I totally disagreed with this India that said that because of downturn economic, because of the poor condition of economy, that it will not be good for anybody to talk of going on strike, or the strike will succeed. They say when the going gets tough, this will continue. You see, when the going gets rough, that is when you will show your anger so that they will wake up. And because if you check the formation of the security chiefs, that will also intimidate any person who wants to go on strike to say, I don't want to die, or let me go and sit down. If that is another problem, because if you listen to the labor man that said, or the comrade that said that he was hauled inside the vehicle and was driven like a criminal. Yes, then you begin to ask yourself a question. How did it happen? When people rise to protest against any person speaking against the government, police will escort them, protect them, without obtaining police permission. But any person that stands up to come and protest against this government, before you come out, you see armored cars everywhere, intimidating people. And so that it will not be possible for this strike to go on. So that is my own contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elzama from from Owerri Road. Keep the calls coming.
Hello?
Good morning, Uche.
Yeah,
good
Mr. morning. Bernard, you're welcome.
And Adobe.
Go ahead.
My name is Bernard from Transekulu. Not comfortable with that statement from Dr. Chigos here, another my friend. You see, I don't like. What do you mean that you are relieved? You are relieved when what is there? The masses of Nigerians are already suffering. The masses are already suffering. So it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. People are already suffering. You say we are relieved. Doctor Nanado, you are aware of what happened during Kokori, during Abacha regime. There was no fuel. People endured. The poor place, the economy was climbed down. Yet, people achieved what they had because of annulment of June 12. So I don't see anybody pushing the argument that people will suffer. What do you mean? You suffer and suffer once and get what you want. The labor man said that the government, this type of government, that are very hard. Countries need hard response. If you don't use hard on them, they will never relax. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bernard. Thank you for your thoughts. And quickly, let's take one more and then we go for a break. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
My name is Odazi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot. I'm calling you from Ila Delta State. This is the most confusing morning. Good morning, my friend Dr. Anardo. and our other guests in the house. Good analysis. But then, one would say, here we go again. I would have been surprised if Labour had started this strike today. What did we see? Discordant tunes. Our Labour Union has no clear-cut policy. You always accuse government of policy somersault. What do we make of our labor unions? Are they in synergy? All of them. Are they in synergy? How many of them would have participated in this strike action today, the so-called mass movement? Parents have told their kids not to go to school today. Most of us have made plans on how to support labor, how to go demonstrate with them. Well, see where we are. Nigerians do not have the dedication and the patience to wait for labor, judging from their pedigree. It is a shame that we do not have straightforward motives. By the end of the day, it is the common man, the common citizenry, that will be at the receiving end. In every situation, something has to give. Something has to give. We have problem in this country because nothing gives. So everything comes up at the same time. Government should not resort to blackmail. Either labor shifts her salt or government should rescind its decision on fuel and electricity strike. By the way, how about our legislature? How come they all gone suddenly quiet? Who makes laws? Who supports? Who disagrees? They are there to support us, to say, no, this is wrong. Now they let government do all the negotiation and dole it down to us. And then we begin to suffer and complain. And no one listens. I'm here in my comfort zone complaining. Who am I talking with? Who exactly? I should be talking with the government and the labor leaders themselves. After all, they are all in government together. Thank you very much. God bless Nigerians. Let's do the sensible thing. Let's wait for 2 weeks and see how it pans out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Odazay. We'll take more calls after this short break. Welcome back. It's still Urban Parliament on Urban Radio 94.5. We'll get back to more calls just before we come back to the studio to get Dr. Chigozie and Narada's reaction to the calls. Hello? Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Tony calling from Enugu.
Go ahead.
Yeah, concerning the issue this morning. But we are afraid of this people this morning concerning the strike. We are expecting these people to take a move. At least last week, these people was, some kind like reaching agreement with the government. In last week, this Monday we were expecting them to go on strike. Now they have already suspended the strike. This is a labor issue. I don't know. They are not here to represent anybody or to do anything to the farmers. We are suffering. This is no issue of maybe it's because of this kind of thing, one or two things, or like, let them go on strike so that the negotiation should be continued. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your thoughts. Hello. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Yusi.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's Val, I'm calling from Enugu.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with the level of this one, because one would have expected that this strike would have at least started today. Maybe they would have done it for like a week, because this is the time to hold this government to account. People are suffering, and I don't think they will. Even this one, they are suspending electricity tariff. It will not hold. 2 weeks is not enough to suspend this implementation they have already started. So I'm wondering. In fact, I'm disappointed with this Ahu Bawaba, because since he came into this office, nothing, no good strike has been embarked on. Look at the times of Oshomole. Look at that time. And this is the first time I'm hearing court issuing this thing to stop a protest, which is enshrined in our constitution. So it is quite unfortunate. And I don't think after that 2 weeks, nothing is going to happen. You see it. So it's quite unfortunate.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, my brother.
Go ahead.
My name is Evangelist Joseph Abo. I live in Abakaliki.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much for the discussion. Well, I'm just worried about the fact that the masses appear not to have anybody representing them anymore, both in the parliament, in the civil society, and in the labor. The three places where the masses can push strength when things like this begin to happen. The fact that we are paying more for fuel when fuel, the crude oil, has come down beats me. I don't understand it. I expect that we will pay more for light. And I'll tell you why. When we began to install prepaid meters, you know, the greatest places where they have made money, the distros were on estimated billing. People were giving bills as if they are running mortuaries. Somebody will have one room and he will get 15,000 naira payment, and the person will be begging to pay 5,000. Meanwhile, he may not have consumed up to 500 naira in a month. But the moment they began to install these prepaid meters, their income began to dwindle. So, and besides, it's about 10 years since the last increment in electricity. So to an extent, that one is understandable. But how do we explain the fact that fuel has increased about 7 or 8 times in the past 10 years, and in a country that is the 6th largest producer of crude oil, with 4 refineries dead and abandoned by its own leaders because they are the ones importing fuel? Why would anybody not get angry that we are even planning to go and start going to Niger Republic that built a refinery for about $6 billion about 3-4 years ago? Monies that individuals in Nigeria put in their pockets and walk away and will begin to tell stories. They made an announcement for when this fuel would increase and left with it. Why did they not give an ultimatum? Why were they not proactive?
Right.
Please don't do it. If you do it by that day, we are going to down tools. They now waited until all this. I think they would have blackmailed them by independence is on Thursday and all this blah 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 blah. At the end of the day, I don't think we are going to get anything. Somebody said that if government doesn't want to do anything, they form a committee. That is what has happened. I don't expect anything to come out of this. You see.
All right.
Good morning.
Thank you, Evangelist. We'll take more calls. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, 99 time crier, Babotu.
Go ahead, Babotu.
No, we employed this government since 2015. You know, the way they are doing their own government, we never understand the demand of the government. Look at, we are kind of the coronavirus that attacks every cohort. So everybody now is trying to survive the issue. What are we hearing is to put money on the fuel, high electric tariff. I don't know whether sometimes, whether they can about this sit one place and think of the welfare of the nation. So when we want to say something, sometimes they'll say we are criticizing them. If you do good, I know that you cannot support everybody. In your regime, if you have given us 60%, people will not criticize you. That's what is going on in this country. We don't have labor. We don't have a national union rota. We don't have a GUC. And because of all these things, the government is passing them privately. It will receive our action. This is your penalty. Now, let them, everybody just looking like they said they know what is supposed to flow. No, you know, no nothing. Everything is blind. People are suffering. Huh? Everywhere. If you watch out how people are dying, you know, it's because of the government. When you are sick, I never go to hospital. Because of the bill they will give you a hospital, it's better for you to die in your house. So I don't know how the intention of this very government.
When all right.
Playing, whether they are still thinking anything positive for a week, look at our road. Just imagine our road. They can never move freely on the road. Look at who go in our house. People are dying there every day.
All right, focus your thoughts on what we're discussing, please. Just focus your thoughts on what we're discussing. There are plenty matters. Hello.
Hello, you see, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Emmanuel from Achale. Good morning, Adobe, and the guests in the studio. You remember last week when this issue is being debated, or 2 weeks ago, we said it very clear that Labour is an armchair of the federal government that states that they are right flank. What they are doing, they know what they are doing. And let me tell you, the plan with which the Labour is applying is to tell Nigeria how serious they are to protect their interests, especially the civil servants. There are those in the civil servants who think that this strike are going to hold. Most of them have made arrangements today, but their hopes have been dashed. On the issue of petroleum, they are telling you that when Dangote's refinery begins to work, that is when the issue of petroleum will be solved. And most of us are believing them. You can now see very clearly that they don't give a damn about any of us. What they are interested is what will benefit them. And I'm still asking, and I have always asked this question, and nobody has provided the answer for me. Tell me any country in the world, both in Africa and in any other place, ruled by these people, you know them, they're progressive. Money for my child. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Emmanuel. We'll take one more call and then we'll get back to the studios. Dr. Anardo has a handful to deal with. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lucy. My name is Siddharth from Atalao.
Go ahead.
I want to commend the Labour leader for what they are doing. Those who are calling this phone, asking that we should go on strike, how are they mobilizing the market women, those at Obete, those at the Garissi Park, to join the Labour for the strike. The Labour alone, can they succeed? They cannot succeed. So I want to congratulate Ayuba and his members in what they are doing to negotiate with government. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. All right, let's get back to the studio, Dr. Narodo.
Yeah.
You've been listening carefully.
It's a basketful.
Yeah.
It's a basketful. And it was not unexpected, actually. You see, in a period of difficulties, people are bound to show their anguish. And I think it's good for us to have media houses where people are calling and actually express their anguish. Otherwise, if this anger, you know, continues to get bottled up, you see, once in a while you see the thing explodes. So it's good that people express their anguish, you know, in this kind of platform. The truth of the matter, just like Aga said, is that it is difficult to actually be a Labour leader in this part of the country. Let me actually tell the people, like my friend Bernard, the time that Imodu was a Labour leader was different from the time that Pascal Bafia was the NLC leader. A little bit different from when Adam Soshomale was the NLC leader. See, we fought the military. In a military regime, when you call for strike, the military will give you warning that if you ever do this, that will happen. You'll be sacked and that will, that and, you know. So it was easy for Labour to take a position that it was either this or you sack us. So at the end of the day, they will be forced to go and negotiate. But this time around, it has become a chameleon fight. It's more of a guerrilla warfare now. The moment you announce strike, they will invite you. If it was in the time of America, he will invite you. You will let your guard down, thinking that you're negotiating. After one or two meetings, they will abandon you. You'll be waiting for them to call the third meeting. You won't have the meeting until automatum is over. You will discover that you have not actually mobilized for the next action. So it is not actually easy. If you know what these people go through, I can tell you, assure you that Ayuba Waba would have left his house for the past 1 week. He wouldn't be seeing his family. The same thing with the TUC leader. And with their teams, they will have their teams researching compiling data, preparing to meet with these people. And you see, they will forget about the fact that they have families and people to take care of. They will be there somewhere holding up, trying to prepare for government. And these harrowing negotiations, where government will be trying to twist them. At the end of the day, it is easy for people to sit down at home and say they got nothing. The electricity tariff was reversed. Temporary reversal, as it were, for 2 weeks. That, if you critically analyze it, you see that government has accepted to do what it ought to have done even before the increment. To have called a stakeholders meeting, to have brought everybody who was involved, who was a stakeholder in the electricity production and consumption in Nigeria, to see this is what the MITO requires in a multi-year tariff order. This is what we're about to do. What's your take on it? People will now come up with their own demands. Now, part of the activities that are going to happen, or expectedly going to happen within these 2 weeks, will be for massive metering to go on. People had expected that this meeting, if it had been called before the increment, that massive metering would have actually preceded this, so that people will be in control of what they consume. If I don't want to use electricity, I'll shut off my meter, I'll put on my switches. But like some people reacted, people are paying for darkness. What the discos do is that they will give bill to people who are metered. The balance of their energy cost, they will distribute it among those who are not metered. You just get a distribution so that they can recover what they had aimed to recover, the cost and profit.
Okay.
So if people were metered, we will begin to talk about, right pricing. Is the pricing right? What is the correct pricing? So that everybody will be carried along. Part of the problem of this government is that they don't carry the people they rule along. See, people are thinking that actually the price of fuel was increased in August. No. Thank God I called into the studio in May, when there was a seeming reduction in pump price. The price was reduced about 123.50 naira per liter. And I called Charles in a prime time program. I said, look, let us guard our lines, because this, what happened then was complete deregulation. That in the future, we were going to pay for a liter of petrol for about 215 naira. So that was in May that the deregulation happened. But people didn't notice, because that was when crude oil price hit rock bottom. People were begging people to come and take the crude oil so that they could pay less for the vessels that were carrying the crude oil. And when they removed the subsidy, it looked as if the price came down to 120. It was a reduction in price. But that was when the subsidy was removed. But the government did not communicate effectively. If the government wanted to do such a thing, that was when he would have called a stakeholder meeting and said, look, we were about to remove the subsidy, so that, and this time around, it was going to be lower. Subsequently, if the crude oil price globally increased, it was going to be higher.
Okay.
However, I'm saying that, my position, I've discussed this before, that we should actually pen it down and say, look, we have removed the subsidy when you did. Nobody should talk about subsidy again in this country. So that we can actually talk about the petroleum industries bill. The PIGB and the HCB, the Host Community and Affected People's Bill, and the Petroleum Industry Governance Bill, that can actually lead to development of, the petroleum downstream petroleum industry in Nigeria. See, Uche, I don't know that apart from PMS, there are tons and tons of petrochemicals that Nigerians are supposed to be benefiting from. If you don't take time, you get fixated on PMS. But if you go and price plastic buckets in a market today, you marvel. It's because the polyvinyl chlorides and the other plastic models that are used in producing these things are petrochemicals. And we are importing these petrochemicals. The Kaduna Refinery and Petrochemical Company was wired, for instance, to produce what we call the LABS that is used in producing detergents. No one drop comes out from there. All the LABS that are used in this country are imported. And Nigerians are losing jobs. We are creating jobs in Europe and Asia. So if really the deregulation is going to happen, as it has happened. Let us hold on to it. And so that we, in the next 10 years, we look forward to seeing real investment in the downstream sector. So that if these modular refineries are beginning to work, the petrochemicals that are supposed to come out from this will create millions and millions of jobs in the private sector. Do you know that the jobs we have in this country, that, you know, it's only about 20% of the jobs that are owned by government.
But it's clear that deregulation is not properly being managed.
See, one thing...
And the merits that will have come from it, it's not obvious.
That's what I you know, 3 weeks ago I was here. Mm. I was saying that Labour should actually hold government to account, to actually say what is going to do with the proceeds of the deregulation. What can they put in place to ameliorate the suffering of the common man in Nigeria? I told you that during the Bangida regime, when he tried to increase fuel price, he brought on the Obama's transit programs, and buses were distributed around the federation. When Abacha tried to do so, he came up with the PTF. When Jonathan tried to do so, he came up with Shopee. One can argue that some of these programs were also conduit pipes to actually milk money. But the Labour should actually hold government to say, tell us what are tangibles that can actually cushion the effect, because if you remove subsidy, there's going to be a sharp effect. What can cushion these effects on the people? Now that they have suspended the increment in power tariff, Labour must be very alive to ensure that, look, the milestones that are supposed to be achieved in the next 2 weeks, it is doubtful. It's very doubtful, actually.
That's like amplifying the role of NLC, because they just react only when maybe salaries and emoluments are not being paid. From what you're just saying, they should be doing more than that.
Not because if economic policies actually, if you are giving, let's say, 50,000 naira minimum wage, and at the end of the day, economic policies come that would wipe away that money, you are nowhere. So you should actually go and negotiate what is in there for you, for the workers, because you can't give it with one hand and remove with the other hand. At the end of the day, we are going to place the overall good of Nigeria on the focus. Everybody will be looking at it and making his demand, so that government will now say, look, this money belongs to Nigerians. We want to see how this is made to pander for the well-being of Nigerians, why we try to grow the economy. So the Labour should be alive. You see what happened? Why everybody is shouting now is because government smuggled in the deregulation. Not a lot of persons knew when it happened, including the media people. Because I kept calling here and telling you people, look, what you are calling increase in price is not actually increase in price. It happened in May. It was deregulation. That this price could continue to go up and down. That if global oil price went as high as probably $60, $70 or $80 or $100 per barrel, we could be seeing PMS going for as much as, you know, 200, 300 naira per liter. So we should be careful of what, you know, what is going on. I had expected that Labour would have started engaging the government as far back as in May to say, what have you put in place to bring up this deregulation? But they likely didn't understand what happened up until now, when the prices began to go high and they saw that pump price began to climb as much as 165 naira per liter. So it is not good to sleep on your rights and only wait to react when it has happened. It is important to be proactive. However, you must also bear in mind that those human beings who are negotiating for the people are not superhuman beings. They are human beings. At a stage, they also consider the fact that if they lose at this point, they would have lost all. It is not proper to say that Labour has chickened out or the Labour has sold out. Because if you have that mind, what alternative do you have? You are sitting down in your house and say Labour has chickened out. Oh, Labour, they would have started this strike. What was the aim of the strike, Abinishu? The aim of the strike was, one, to get government to reverse the increment in tariffs. And if Labour has got an agreement that, even if it was temporarily, that the tariff has been reversed in the case of power, and that in the case of PMS, because Labour is also conscious of the fact that millions of Nigerians are coming out of the higher institutions every day and are not getting employed. The Nigerian oil industry is employing less than 10% of Nigerians. This industry has a capacity.
But it could do more.
That's what I'm saying. If the industry actually grows, the industry has a capacity of employing up to 30% of the people, because there are direct employments that are supposed to be created by the downstream operations of the refinery. Uche,
our time
is up. We have four refineries in Nigeria. They are gulping billions of naira in maintaining the personnel cost and the so-called overhead cost. I don't know what they do with the overhead. But at the end of the day, this refinery does not earn one kobo for Nigerian government, at least in the last 1 year or so. So why are we now allowing government to continue to deceive us? Let us, if we deregulate, there was one that was, the foundation was laid in Uguta the other day. If more refineries are going to be brought up by individuals, these individuals are bound to employ human beings. And if they employ people are going to be empowered economically. And if people get empowered economically, a lot of persons that are dependent on them will get out of poverty. But if we continue to move around this vicious cycle, also, government will continue to go and repair a refinery. Go and look at the budget they have made for refurbishing the refinery now. It is running into billions of dollars. And at the end of the day, we have nothing to show for it. I'm saying that it could be a win-win for everybody. Do not sit down in your house and say the responsibility is labor's. The labor leaders are human beings. You also have responsibility to do your bit.
Okay.
So let us also be objective in the way we look at it. If there are things that, if there is a compromise, like my friend Bernard said, he was disappointed in me when I said I was relieved. I'm relieved. Bernard worked in the banking industry. He knows that if the banking sector in Nigeria is shut down for 48 hours, a lot, billions of naira would have been lost. And not government money. I'm talking about investors' money, employers' money. When they recover for it, they will sack people. They are going to sack people from the banks if they recover from the shutdown. Not government people. The people who are in government are probably having their children studying abroad. They have houses where they are going to run when there is crisis. We are going to continue to struggle, but struggle objectively, so much so that we'll have a Nigeria because we don't have any other place. Somebody called on this radio sometime and said that the problem is that these people have their homes abroad and they visit here. We don't have another home. Our homes are here and we are visiting. We are also here. If we're dealing with people who have their homes abroad, like he said, and the people are visiting here, we must be very careful not to allow them to shut and kill this place in the name of our struggle. We must struggle with our eyes very open. We must struggle with our eyes very shine so that we don't allow them to kill the baby, so that we don't have anything to hold on to. Nigeria will be great. I am convinced about that.
Thank you, Dr. Chigozie Anarudu. It's been awesome listening to your submissions. Thank you for making our time to be here. Of course.
Thank you, Ada. Thank you, Urban Radio, for living up to this responsibility, because you are doing massive job. It's social criticism, social enlightenment, holding people, bringing people to knowledge, because it's not enough to just hold your own view. You need to listen to alternative view to see that, look, you come to a center point where you begin to see things from a different prism. We can make this work by doing our own bit, and at the end of the day, we have something that we can nurture and say it's our own.
All right. The Parliament will reconvene tomorrow morning at 9. And it's been awesome. Keep a date with the rest of our programmings for the day. Uche Gabriel is my name.
And I'm Adobe Lozre.